No, I said.
Why? You don't use it!
I plan on using it. I'm live now, Autumn. You can't talk to me. Where is the video at? There it is. Yes, I'm live. Let me share this out. Alright, everybody. This is Soul Essentials Healing Hour. It's been a couple weeks since I've been live. I can. Because I've had some things going on in life. Had some, hi, Berta. Some sick people, sick family members. When will I what?
With the washing thingy, the machine.
As soon as it's done. The problem is, sorry guys, I know we're live, but hold on 1 second. The problem is that there's towels in the dryer that you can't put on the table anymore. You have to fold them. Because there's towels in the dryer and there's towels in the washer.
Yeah, but that's a problem because I need the washer.
So just fold the towels and put the ones in the dryer.
No, because they're not done yet, Mom.
Anyways, so now that they are done, Alyssa, let me know what you guys want to talk about tonight. I've had a lot of people sick in my family. I've been sick. We've been sick for a couple weeks now. So I've been dealing with that, and then going back to school. I had a grandson who was super sick for a little bit. It's that time of the year, especially here in Michigan. It's starting to get colder. So if you guys are on the live, go ahead and say hi. Let me know that you're here so I can say hi to you. And then also, let's pick a topic, what you want to talk about tonight. There's been a theme that's kind of been running for the last couple days, and the theme has been basically on changing those core beliefs again that we have from our past. When we have these negative beliefs from the past and they start to follow us, and so what happens is that, you know, when you're younger, you start to create these beliefs about yourself, and then you go out into the world and you start to test those, hi Karen, beliefs out into the world. And that's been the theme that I have found that's been running through not just like my regular job, people that I'm talking to, but also on the side, the people I'm talking to the side. This says that my FSP is too low. Set it to 15 or 60. I don't even know what that means. Do you guys even know what that means? So there's this thing, like I talked about today, that happens, that when you have this belief and you have an issue with one of your parents or more, it could be both parents, or it could be just with, you know, like your mom or your dad. What will happen is you will forever be trying to fix that relationship. It could even be a step parent. So if you are somebody who really wants the love from a parent, or you want the approval from a parent and you don't get it, what we find is that you'll repeat these patterns where you're forever trying to fix that relationship. When you stop trying to fix that relationship is when you stop putting the blame for it on you. Okay? So if that makes sense. So when you stop saying, I'm not good enough, or, hi, Samar. So what we're talking about right now, Samar, is letting go of your past, trying to not repeat those old patterns where you're forever trying to fix the relationship that you had. So if you had a bad relationship with mom, dad, or whoever was caring for you in your life. So the moment that you take the blame off of you and you stop adding you into the equation as to why that person did what they did or why they treated you the way they treated you, that is when you can start to truly heal from that and move forward. When you realize that however they treated you really had nothing to do with you, it had to do with either they were not well, they had their own things going on. It's usually because they themselves had some sort of dysfunction. They had some sort of, either they were abused or maybe they had mental health issues. Or most of the generations in the past, you know, I think we're getting better at this, but most of the generations in the past, you guys, like, they weren't very loving. They weren't very kind. Life was very hard. You know, a lot of, especially in America, it was a lot of, you just got to go to work and you got to make money because you got to feed the family and we got to make sure we feed all these kids. And so there wasn't a whole lot of time for all that happiness and playfulness. It was more about survival. And when people are in survival mode, there's not a whole lot of enlightenment and enjoyment in life. So America's actually in a position and been in a position for a while where not all of us have to, like, getting our means met is easier. Now, not that I've been very poor in my life, so it can be very poor, and you can have to worry about your home and your food. But overall, when you look at America versus other countries, it's very easy to get food. It's very easy to get those basic needs met. So we're at an opportunity where we get to actually start evolving. And as generations are going, they actually get to be, we get to be nicer. We get to be kinder. So that's that is where I'm hoping that we as generations, as people, are moving towards, that we're going to be moving towards being much kinder, much more enlightened, because a lot of our basic needs are able to be met. So let me look at some of the comments that you hear. Oh, she was widowed at 22. That's so sad. So that is, again, you're saying that your mom respected your brother more because she was in love with your father, but then she was widowed. I remember you telling me that somewhere. And that, again, is meaning that mom had something going on. Mom had a loss that she was dealing with. So it doesn't mean that there was ever really anything wrong with you, that you weren't good enough, that you needed to do more. It's that that issue was in mom. So when you take that responsibility, finally take it off of you and realize that it was never you, then you can start to heal and you can be free. And then you stop looking at yourself for all the faults and all the things that you're doing wrong. Yeah, and I can see how your brother would be a reminder of the love, so then she would favor him more. My mother favored my brother. I don't think it had to do with my dad, but she did favor my brother. I think it was just because he was a baby and he was a boy. And so, moving on from a bad chapter, healing emotions, anxiety, panic attacks, also enhancing and developed gift. One of the things that I find a lot is, that's kind of another theme that's been running through this week, is people being stuck or feeling stuck. And sometimes you need to just realize that life ebbs and flows. Life will always ebb and flow. Life will always go up and then it will go down, and then it will go up and then it will go down. Just like the seasons, just like the water, the river, the tides, the waves, it will always go up and then always go down. So for me in my life, all three of my older daughters have moved all at the same time. All three of them have moved. And then, like I said, my grandson was super ill. And then you can hear it in my voice. Me and my daughters are ill. You know, that is a point where life is kind of going down and things are getting kind of crazy and they're getting difficult. School's starting, so life is more busy. My one daughter, dance is starting. And these are all things. But what will happen is all of this will kind of fade away and life will calm back down. So as I was talking to somebody last night, one of the keys is to, or maybe I was saying it today, because the themes are they're running. the same theme is running through my work and my side job. So one of the keys to coping with life is learning to, when things are chaotic, to be able to stop and say, this will pass, this will flow, this will move, this will change, and to not necessarily get caught up in all the drama of it. Don't get caught up in, you know, all the emotions that could take you over in the times that you're having of difficulty. Don't get caught up in that. Remind yourself that this is what life does. It kind of gets crazy, then it calms down, then it kind of gets crazy and it calms down, but you're going to be okay in that. You will be okay in these troublesome times, in these hard times. And usually things will work out. Now, I'm not saying that I always am like, though I just cope with this like the best. You know, I have my times, I have my days where things seem too much for me. Like last night I didn't sleep very well at all because I have a daughter who is super, super sick and I'm very concerned about her. So that is, should I, as the counselor and the spiritual teacher, have been able to sleep peacefully? Sure, you could say that. Do I have faith? Yes, I have faith. But I'm still very concerned about her because she's very ill. So, do you keep reminding yourself you're in the ebb and flow? Yes. So, I've learned this more and more recently as I've gotten older, that when basically shit hits the fan is to be able to step back. Instead of stepping into the drama, instead of getting all surrounded by it and engulfed by it and encompassed by the drama, is to be able to step back and do more observing of the drama than engaging with it, if that makes sense. Because what I know for a fact is that life ebbs and flows and that whatever is going on is going on. So that means that I'm not going to be able to stop what's happening. I'm not going to be able to change what's happening. So like, the moving of my girls, which really wasn't, it was okay. But let's pretend it wasn't okay. Let's pretend I didn't want them to move. That was not a good thing. It's not something that I could stop. So it's better for me to practice acceptance than it is for me to emotionally get involved and get upset and try to fight it, right? Yeah, girls' drama is. I had this thought the other day of maybe I should have had boys because I'm still dealing with teenage girls, right? So it's like, oh man, they're so moody. Teenage girls are so moody, and it's. But I have to tell you, I have a couple grandsons that are super sensitive, but it's like at the drop of the hat, like one second they're fine, the next second they're not. It's like, oh, jeez. But anyways, So recently, more and more in my life, as these things have happened, so we're pretending that maybe I didn't like that one of my girls was moving. The more that I fight that, the more that I get into that drama, and I could start a fight and be like, why are you doing that? I can't believe you're moving. Oh my God. That does not change anything. And if it's meant to be, it will be. So it's about acceptance, but it's also about learning to trust that the universe is doing this for a reason, right? That things happen for a reason, and that things will work out in the end. Okay, so do you keep reminding yourself the ebb and flow? Yes, I do. Is around the yes, I constantly remind myself. And is it through meditation, self-talk, volunteering, baking? So what I do is I have a trust in the universe, right? I have a trust in the universe that this is supposed to happen, and that me trying to intervene isn't going to do anything. So I'm talking about if people divorce or they separate or they have to move or if they're changing a job or things like that. I trust in the universe that this is supposed to happen. When my one daughter remarried her husband, there was a reason that this was happening. It was not my business to get involved. I knew that for whatever reason, this was her lesson, her life, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. So I stepped out of the drama. I allowed that ebb and flow to happen, and then life settled back down. With me and my girls are ill, and my one daughter is really super ill, that's a hard time, but I have faith that it's going to be okay, that it will work out, okay? So, they're all here. All my girls are here in the area. But they all did, all three of my older girls, two of them have already moved and one is moving. But they're all like in the area, like in Michigan, so they're not out of state. But yes, they are adult girls. And no. The thing with that is, my one daughter who remarried her husband, a lot of people were really upset because it wasn't like the healthiest relationship. But here's what I know, Samar, is that both of those people, while one's my daughter and one is him, they have a lesson to learn that is between them and God and the universe. And it's not my place to try to intervene, right? This is where you get the idea that these children are children of God. They have their own souls, they have their own journey, and they have their own lessons to learn, and I can't live it for them, right? So in that, as your children get older, as they become teenagers, it starts in their teens, so 14, 15-ish, 16, 17, the parent-child relationship starts to morph. Like, Alyssa, hold on a second. Alyssa, I need you to shut the door. Can you shut the door, please? Shut the door. I'm going to ask my girls to shut the door. It needs to start morphing into the parent-adult role, where when your children are older, you are much more their friend than their parent. Now, it it takes a lot of time to do that when they're teenagers, because teenagers are teenagers and they think they know everything and they think they can do everything. But at the same time, the parent has to learn to morph into this new role where they do start to develop some sort of friendship. It's a different bond than when they're little. And what I find is that parents that don't morph into that role, where they do start to somewhat become their children's friend and kind of like a mentor, you're always mom or you're always dad and you always will be, but you're becoming more of a friend type mentor. The parents that don't do that, they get stuck. And what I find is that it really hurts their relationships. Their relationships really suffer. So it's very important to for the parent to learn to let go of that control and to learn to let go and to morph into that friendship role with the child. Now, you're still mom. There's still days where I will call my girls and I'll be like, like one of them is on here. I'll be like, Candace D, like, you know, I, so that still happens. So what else do you guys want to talk about tonight? What other topics are you looking for me to help you with? So there has been a little bit of a theme of learning to allow life to ebb and flow and to flow with it, to stop trying to control absolutely everything, and know that when things are a mess, it's going to be okay. It will be okay. The other thing is also remember is, I can't express this enough, the minute that you take you and your worth out of the equation of what your parent did to you, or your caretaker did to you, or your husband or your boyfriend, and you realize that the problem was within them, it was never really about you being good enough, it sets you free. It literally sets you free. We all come here for a reason. We all are sent here as souls for a reason, to live out a purpose, to learn certain things. And until we learn those lessons, the lessons will continue to surface. Again, if you had problems with mom or dad in your life, and it's something that you haven't healed, what will happen is you will forever be trying to fix that relationship. And that is why you will seemingly pick the same man over and over and over. Because one, that's what you were taught. Two, that's what you're used to. That's what you think is normal. And three, because there's a part of you that's always trying to be good enough. Good enough to get them to love me. Good enough to let them stay with me, to value me, okay? But when you realize that it was never you, your worth, your value, or anything like that, it was the dysfunction in the other person. And I'm not saying that both, you know, maybe you didn't have some sort of role in the relationship. Maybe you did. Maybe there are some things that you did. Of course, we're not perfect, right? That's okay. But for the most part, what I find is that, especially people who are on this page, and especially people who are in the spiritual realm, on that spiritual journey, going through that dark night of the soul, a lot of them have had abusive lives or mistreatment or neglect. Most of them. So most of you have had that happen. So I'm not saying that we don't ever play a role, we do, but I'm saying for most of you, it's because you had people who just were not well, and that never ever had anything to do with your worth or your value. And if you don't really embrace that, you will forever be chasing that initial relationship. So for, like, with what you're saying, Candace, is how do I stop being toxic after an abusive relationship? you have to go back to that core belief of you trying to fix the relationship with your dad. You trying to get dad's approval, you trying to get dad's love. And another thing that people will do in their relationships is, because they don't trust love and they don't trust that they're worthy of love, I have a couple clients I can think of right off the top here that do this. They don't truly believe deep down that they're worthy. They don't truly believe that anybody really loves them or will ever really love them or will ever stay with them. So what they do is they test love. They test it because they don't really believe in it. They don't think that anybody will really ever truly stay with them because one of their parents or caretakers didn't stay. So it could have been your mom, could have been your dad. If your grandparents were your caretaker and grandma didn't stay, that one of the parents didn't really stay. So they will test love. Or the parent was neglectful or even abusive. And the way that they test it is, one of the clearest examples of it, I'll just give you one of the basic examples, is I had a client that would test love with people, even with friends. And so let's say that they would text somebody. And if the person they were texting didn't text them back within an X amount of time, they were mad. And they would like start a fight with them. But the thing is that the friend they were texting didn't even know they were being tested. They had no clue they were even being tested. So it's kind of like women, we kind of do this a lot to men. I mean, we just have to kind of admit we do this a lot to men where we'll think something, we'll have an idea, but we won't fully express that idea. But then we'll be expecting him to do it. But he has no idea that we're expecting it. So he's on a kind of a test, but he doesn't even know he's on a test and he fails. Right? So people who test love always end up having turbulent relationships. They always end up having turbulent friendships and relationships because they silently test their friendships and their love relationships. But the person that they're testing, the boyfriend, the girlfriend, whatever, doesn't even know that they're being tested. So they continuously fail. And what this does for the person that is doing the testing that doesn't trust love is it becomes a confirmation to them. See, nobody really loves me. They're not really there for me. No, you're testing the relationship. You're the one doing it. Stop doing it. Stop testing it and just know that this person does care about you. This person does want to be with you. Okay? Does this all make sense to everybody? Do you guys see what I'm saying? So one of the things to stop being toxic, one of the things is to check yourself in this area, is to see, are you testing love? Are you testing friendships? Are you testing your relationships, but you're not even telling these people that they're on a test, okay? And it's because you don't believe that anybody can really ever love you. So let me know if this makes sense for everybody. So the thing is that when this happens, it's because you had somebody in your life that wasn't able to fully love you. They were damaged. They were not well. It actually never had anything to do with your worth. It never had to do with not being lovable. That's not really a thing. And that's one of the things that we address in NLP training that I do, that the neuralistic programming work that we do, where we're reprogramming the brain, okay, is we work with, there is a, you know, one of the universal fears is that one of the universal fears is that I'm not lovable. That's a universal fear that's kind of across the board, that people have this underlining belief that I'm just truly not lovable. People don't really love me. Don't most friendships get tested constantly? No. I don't think so. I guess I can kind of see where you're going with that, Samara, that actually all relationships are kind of, in a sense, being monitored or considered. But I can think of several of my relationships with people that I'm not testing them. I'm not worried about the friendship. So how this happens is, like, I can think of a few people right off the top of my head that I am friends with, and I have no, like, worries or issues about the friendship whatsoever. It's never in consideration. And why is that? Well, one is because, and I'm not saying that you're doing this, but one is because I don't want anything from the relationship. I don't need anything from the relationship, right? And what do I mean by that? I mean, I want the friendship. I want the friend. I enjoy the friend. I love the friend, actually. But I'm not looking to gain anything from that relationship. I'm not looking. So I go in it with a different energy, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm not looking to get anything back. I'm not looking for them to they don't have to be there for me. They don't have to call me. I'm not looking for that. I am just being your friend, and you are just being my friend. That's it. I'm not looking for anything, so therefore I'm not testing the relationship at all, and I have no expectations. I just enjoy you, I care about you, but I don't have any expectations. Does that make sense? So right. So if you're testing if you're lovable, then you look at Tuxedo, and he just allows them because he knows he's a gift, right? And that's kind of the thing, like, you know, I'm not really looking for anything out of the relationship, so it's one and one, yeah. So I have no expectations. I think that's what the key is I don't have any expectations, and I'm okay on my own. I'm okay with me, because when you really know who you are, and I've talked to you guys about this before, but when you really, really know who you are and you know what you are made of, you know that you're part of Source, then you don't need anything. Now, it's not like I don't need a car and I don't need a job and I don't need a house. I need those things because those are basic human needs. So we're going back to the basic human needs. I need those things, but I don't need anybody else's approval. I don't need anybody else's I don't know how to put this to you guys without it seeming like, I'm not sure how to explain it without seeming like cold or mean, because I mean this in the truest sense of the word. Like, I value my friendships so much, and I truly, truly love my girlfriends. I love them. I honestly deeply love them. But I don't need anything from that because I have source. I have God. I have that connection. I know my worth. I know my value. And I don't need any other approval anywhere else. And I know what I have to offer as a friendship, and I know how genuine I am. So I don't need anything back from you. I'm just here to offer my friendship. Does that make sense? Yeah, I don't need validation from anyone. I'm just offering my love and my friendship and my time and not really, Samar. I don't a lot. Sometimes, I mean, I do. I have my best friend, but actually my best friend and I, we actually didn't see each other for a year and a half. We just seen each other over the summer. We hadn't seen each other in a year and a half, and actually it's funny because we both had gifts for each other for like birthdays and Christmas that because we hadn't seen each other, but we don't expect gifts from each other. It's just something that we do. You know, like I'll notice something, I'll be like, oh, Lori would love that, and I'll pick it up for her, and then the next time I see her, I'll give it to her, or she'll do the same thing. She's went to Italy a couple times and picked me up some really nice gifts that I really love. So I can talk to her, but I don't just call her. I do talk to my daughters, not so much as we used to. I've really come to understand that most things in life, most problems in life are going to fix themselves, for one. They're going to work out, for two. And if I'm upset, it's more because my alignment with source is off. My alignment with what is right, and by right I mean in line with source, is off. My perception is off. My emotions are off. Does that make sense? So when you have things that are off in your life, when you have emotions and they're off, all that is an indicator that you're not in line with source, that you're not in line with what's true. There's only one truth with source, and that's love. And that's inner peace. And when I don't have that, it's because somehow my perception is off. So that's where I put myself a lot, is back in, whenever I have issues, a lot of times I just say to myself, okay, I'm going to let this just be for right now. I'm going to let this sit. And then I'm just going to let it kind of sit there and kind of see what happens. And then I will observe, and then I will make my choice as to whether I need to do something. I mean, to make a change. Maybe I don't need to talk to that person anymore. So I'm not saying I don't ever do that either. There are boundaries. There are things that I do that I stop. There are people that I don't talk to a whole lot. There's reasons like that. So let me know if this is making sense, though, because it's a hard topic to explain. But let me know. But I can promise you that if you're upset about something, it's because your perception is off. Because you are thinking somewhere, somehow, that you're less than. That's why. Okay? So let me see what else you said. Sometimes it's like they're grooming you by calling you every day, but when you call them, they're too busy. I think life changes when you retire. Like that song, when you're coming over. Yeah, the cat's in it. Yeah. So if you feel like it's because somebody's grooming you by calling you every day, but when you call them, they're too busy, what that is actually a selfish person. So if they're there and they're calling you and you're always there for them, But when you go to turn around and call them, they're not there. Then you're dealing with a selfish person. You're dealing with somebody who's self-centered. Conversations go two ways. When I talk to my daughters, when I talk to my girlfriends, the conversation goes two ways. They tell me about all their, you know, life complaints. I tell them about my life complaints, and we go back and forth. But if it's a one-sided, then you have a self-centered person. And that is somebody that you would draw a boundary with or a line with, and you would not be available every day unless you wanted to and you could offer that, but we're not looking for anything in return. Okay? You're not looking for anything in return. And I don't know, maybe I can say this because as a counselor and as a psychic medium, that is one of the things that I do. I am there to offer a service. I am there to offer help, but I am not looking for anything in return. But I can, my girls can probably vouch, I'm not really looking for a whole lot for in return in life anyways. It's just genuinely how I am. I don't need it. I'm not looking for it. Yeah, 9/11 is, it's kind of amazing. So what I would do is if you have these types of relationships, I would look at, you know, can you be in the relationship without expecting anything back? And if you can't, then you want to kind of look at, you know, why? Is this person taking, hi, mother-in-law? Who is that, Candace? Is your mother-in-law on here? Is that what you're saying? If you can't, then you want to look at why. Is there a boundary issue going on? Is there, you know, something going on? But if you can just genuinely give into the relationship without expecting anything back, then you don't get hurt, for one. You don't have expectations. Remember, expectations is where we get hurt. When we have expectations that usually we don't express out loud, they're silent. Again, those are also the ones where we're testing people. So we have these silent expectations. We don't normally verbalize them. And then when the other person doesn't fulfill them, we get hurt. But if you remove the expectations, you don't get hurt. Now, does that mean that I'm saying you shouldn't be treated good? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying you remove the expectations. When I go into a relationship, I don't necessarily, you know, I'm not looking at, well, I expect that you're going to do this, this, that, this, that, this, that. I'm not looking for that. Okay? So, what did we get out of the talk tonight? What do you need me to clear up? And as far as your question, Candace, on being toxic, the true key to all healing, you guys, is awareness. It's awareness, becoming self-aware. It's learning to step outside of yourself and observe what you're doing and what you're saying and what you're feeling. And start to notice it. So what Eckhart Tolle calls it is the pain body. He calls it the pain body. You start to notice the pain body. And the more that you start to notice the pain body, the more that you can start to heal it and change it. So let's take anger for an example. Anger is part of the pain body. And if you want to learn to not be an angry person, you start to do self-observance of your anger, of your moods, of the words you're using, of your emotions. And normally what happens when you start to create awareness, you're going to step outside of yourself and you're going to start watching yourself. You're going to start watching that those words that you're using, those thoughts that you're having. When you do that, what will happen usually is Eckhart explains this, is that in the beginning, you won't catch the anger until after it's already done. You have already yelled, you've already slammed the pot, you've already slammed the door, the cooking pot, you've already slammed the door, you've already said the things you shouldn't say. That's normally how it begins. But the more you want to heal and the more you want to have that inner peace, the more you will start to catch it sooner. So then you'll start to catch it maybe almost, you know, halfway after you're already in the mess of it. And then you'll notice it, and what will happen is you'll just stop and you'll walk away, okay? And then you'll start to notice it in the middle. Like you'll go to start to say something and be like, you know what, blah, 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 blah. And you'll stop and you'll say, oh, here's that anger again. Here it is. And you'll walk away. And then what will happen is you'll get so good at it that you'll start to notice it before it even happens, before you even do it. So, and a lot of times it's certain people or places or things that will provoke those pain body reactions, those programmed automatic reactions. You're not even aware that you're doing them. You're programmed. You've been doing it so long, it's habit. You'll start to notice them before they even happen. So if there's a particular person that tends to provoke the anger in you, before they even walk in the room, you will already start to have this conversation with yourself of, okay, here they come. Okay, don't say anything. Take a few deep breaths. Relax. It's okay, right? And that's before they even, so once they get into the room, we know this person is a trigger. You're already prepared to be more awake, more aware, more conscious, and to stop that toxic behavior, to stop those. So, catching the thoughts is awesome. That is how you do it. You have to learn to catch those thoughts. You have to learn to observe the thoughts, see them, notice them, and then you have to come up with your phrase of whatever your phrase is. I'm okay, it's okay, it'll work out, all of those things, right? How do you get people to stop shouting so much? I don't know. My dad used to be a yeller, so it is a habit. So I had to work really hard on not yelling. I had to really work on that. That was something that I worked really hard on doing. And I finally got that under control, and then God gave me a deaf child. So, it is habit, but they have to notice it. They have to try to stop it. It is something that can be changed. And the other thing is we had a family member recently who has always been loud, and it turns out that they had hearing loss. So if you're absolutely sure it's not hearing loss, they would have to want to change it. So you can't get somebody else to do it, right? That goes along with the saying that you can't get anybody else to do anything. You can't control anything but yourself. So again, when we're talking about that anger, we're talking about that pain body, the negative emotions, the negative thoughts, the only thing we have control over is ourself. That is why I teach this, because I can't control anybody else. I can't control what anybody else does. But we can control what you do. We can control how you respond. We can't control what the other one is going to do. And if you remain in control, not only do you start to observe yourself, but you start to observe others from a distance. You start to become aware of what they're doing, and it doesn't affect you because you're doing more of an observing than you are an absorbing. You're not absorbing their energy. I'm observing their energy. So if I'm observing their energy, then I'm not entangled in it. Does that make sense? There's a difference. If I'm absorbing the energy, I'm entangled in it. I'm becoming a mess. I'm getting upset. I'm getting emotional. But if I'm observing, then I'm over here in my own energy, and I'm good. I'm okay. So, we've covered quite a bit tonight. I am so glad that we're back on here. My life is definitely getting a little busy. I got a daughter who's going back into dance. She's going back in on Thursdays, so I won't be able to switch the talk to Thursdays like I had thought earlier. Or previously we talked about before. And I've got some, things coming up. Yeah. So it's not hearing loss. You could try talking back quietly, changing your response. Usually that takes a really long time. Yes, controlling your responses absolutely limits their responses, because if you're not reacting, if you're not adding fuel to the fire, right, then there's no fire. So the observing is 100% one of the biggest coping skills in life. Learning to observe your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. If you don't have observance, if you don't step out of yourself and create that awareness, then you are your thoughts, you are your words, you are your emotions, instead of it being something that you're experiencing. It becomes you. You can't tell the difference. You think it is you. You think you are anger. You are not anger. You're having anger. There is a difference. So I would say to them, if they're yelling and they're shouting, I would say, okay, can you please stop shouting? But you have to say, please stop shouting. Now, my girls get loud and they yell, and there are times where I have stopped and I have yelled and said, stop yelling. And I'm yelling while I'm saying stop yelling. But usually once I yell, they know, like, okay, that's it. I have to, hey, mom said. But 100%, if you change your responses, there's nothing for them to respond to, right? So there's only fire if you keep putting fuel on it, right? Yes. So I do a lot of observing and then digesting is a way for me to describe what I do. So I observe what's going on. I don't take it on as my own problem unless it's related to one of my kids. That's where I get tripped up, is my kids are the ones that will, if anything gets to me, it's my kids. But even with them, I still do observing, and then I kind of stand back and I digest it. So I'm like digesting it energetically, and I wait. So in life, a lot of times we don't wait. We don't let the energy subside to where we can make good decisions, because we are so reactive. And there are times where being reactive is necessary. But if we learn to wait and digest that energy for a minute, we can make better decisions. We can make better choices. So Yes. Keeping your phrase, whatever your phrase is, like my phrase was, I'm good enough. That was one of my phrases that I would say to myself all the time. Because I still kind of do this, I would always push myself and push myself and push myself, and it was never enough and never good enough. So one of my phrases was that I was good enough. That was good enough. And so the mantras work. And the self-observance, and then taking in that energy and just kind of digest it for a little bit before you make a choice or make an action. And a lot of times I'll choose to just to not. And even Candace has said, why are you not getting upset? Why? Why waste my energy on that? It's not something I can fix. It's not something I can change. It's not my problem. Why get upset in that? Why get all messed up in that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to feel that way. And that's not aligned with Source, because Source is always inner peace. Source is always love. Source is not chaos. It is not mess. And if I am chaos and a mess, I'm not in line with my true Source. I'm not. I don't want to be that way. I want to have inner peace. So that's really why I do all this. And why I learned all this is because I wanted inner peace. I wanted happiness. And the only way to do that is to start doing that observing and realize that you are not your emotions. Those are an emotional state. They're not who you are. And for the love of God, stop running the story through your head. Please stop doing that. Please, please stop doing that. Stop running that old story through your head. That old story is full of false beliefs and bad emotions and bad stories that are not real. Stop playing that old story, okay? Make a new story. Make one that's better. Don't play those old stories. They're not real. And even if they are something that was real and something that happened, why do you want to play the old story? It was a bad movie. Why do you keep replaying it? Why? Did you like the movie in the first place? Like, I told my daughter the other day, I watched one of these movies that all my girls love. I cannot understand it. Seriously, it's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Why would I watch it again? Why would I watch it again? It was horrible. Stop replaying that movie. Stop doing that. Okay? So, here was our meeting. I hope that everybody has a great night and a great week. I am going to make myself go to bed. I'm hoping that I can sleep tonight. My daughter's a little bit better today. Out loud. Yeah. She's a little bit better today. She's not fully better. Candace, that movie was the worst movie. And I didn't watch the whole thing because I just couldn't. It was so painfully bad. Why would I watch it ever again? I wake up with those stories. I need them to go away with a mantra. Right. So we wake up with the story. Yes. We do that when the body wakes up and the center of focus is here on this plane. We have a pattern of not, instead of, Joe Dispenza says this, you guys. Joe Dispenza says, instead of creating our day as we would like it to go, we replay yesterday or the day before or last month or last year. When that is actually in the past, and each day, this is what he says, each day is an opportunity to create a new day. So instead of waking up with those old stories, you actually wake up and take a few moments to create, how do you want the day to go? That doesn't mean the day will always go that way, but the chances of the day going that way are much higher than not. What kind of day do I want to have? I want things to flow well today. I want work to go well today. And you start imagining things just going your way and things flowing and you being able to do things and accomplish things instead of all those bad stories of all the things anybody in our life has ever done to us, right? So when you wake up with those stories, the key is to notice that and stop them. Yes, stop them. Okay. So Samara's asked for a couple times for us to pray for my daughter, Autumn, which we can do that if everybody would like to take a moment just to pray for everybody. In many of the areas right now, it is flu season, it is allergy season, the weather is changing. Samara says, Dear God, please help April's daughter recover and heal quickly. Everyone else keep their good health and better vibrations and energy. Rule your days and nights. Sleep well, sweet dreams. So I ask for this prayer to be given to everybody out there and that everybody is well and recovers and heals. Amen. So thank you everybody for being here with me tonight. And we will be back next week. I hope you guys have a great night.